I don't see any fresh faces out there, but my name is Ross Johnson. I'm privileged to be up here and give tonight's devotion on our memory verse, which is Proverbs 14:30. And tonight we're going to look at the context of Proverbs 14:30. We're going to look define the words and look at some different translations. I want to share some observations I had as I meditated and pondered upon this verse over the last month and a half, and just take a look at where envy comes from and what the solutions are. And hopefully I'll encourage you with a little bit of what's helped me along as I've, again, been having the verse on the forefront of my mind as for the last month and a half. So, our verse is Proverbs 14:30, and I subtitled this, A Warning About Evil. So the context of Proverbs is a book of wise sayings by Solomon and others. There's the specific context of chapter 14 is full of useful sayings that Solomon wrote down for us to help us live day to day, and this section is full of observations that he wrote down. In my Bible, the whole thing is these short little verses all spaced out. They look like, to me, it reminded me, looked like Solomon gathered a bunch of magnets off of sayings with magnets on for refrigerators and just kind of threw them on the page. So they're just, you know, there's nothing other than there's a contrast in them, but they just cover all sorts of stuff. It's just kind of I thought it was funny, but anyway, So in this section, he's contrasting stuff. It's just, if you look at Proverbs 14, he's just all over the map. There's no real one subject that he's talking about. Our verse tonight is going to talk about envy. This structure uses and it highlights the differences and it makes us easy to understand and remember what Solomon is trying to say for us here. In our verse tonight, we're going to find out that we're going to contrast two things. The two things contrasted here are a sound mind and envy, and the results of both. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bone. This first word I'd like to define is the word sound. I'm not going to even try to butcher the Hebrew word, but this Hebrew word, spelled M-A-R-P-E-H, is translated in other parts of the Bible as peace, health, and calm. And it carries the idea of a peaceful, contented, emotion or attitude, or is a state of health. So this sound is, I thought, to me, when I first looked at this verse, sound to me was logical. This means logical. This is that logic is sound, or this makes sense, or that's logical. But this actually means peace, health, and calmness. Just on the same page, if you're there, Proverbs 15:4 states, using the same word, wholesome. A wholesome tongue is the tree of life. So peace, health, and calm. This is why in other translations, this verse is translated, a peaceful heart gives life to the body, but jealousy rots the bones. The ESV says, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but the envy makes the bones rot. So that was a kind of a cool thing here to find out that this word sound that I expected one definition is different. The next word is heart. And this is the Hebrew word L-E-B or leb, and it means mind, will, or the inner man. Now it actually can mean the actual organ, pumping organ blood in your chest, but in this case it means your mind or your will or the inner man. And the reason I say that comes in just in the same chapter, three verses down, Proverbs 14:33, wisdom rests in the heart of him that has understanding. Now, if heart means beating the heart that pumps blood, wisdom doesn't rest there. So, and as another example, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. So the understanding is between your ears, not in your chest. So I'm going to say the word heart here means your mind, your will, or the inner man in contrast to the outer. The Hebrew word that comes as life, it means, is the word hay, and it means it can be translated as nourishment or food, or as a state of life, as which is in contrast to death. The next word in the definition is body, and this literally means the flesh of the human body. So it's talking about your body, the flesh that's attached to your bones, and it also can mean substance or the very essence or essential nature of a thing. I believe in this case that Solomon is making a kind of a slight play on words. And I believe what he's saying here is just as a healthy heart or healthy mind is good or is helpful for the human body, then he's going to contrast with envy. So in both cases, a healthy heart that pumps blood is life to the body. And a healthy mind is also life to the body. Both cases are true. So now, the next one we're going to talk about is the word envy, the subject of the night. And this is the Hebrew word spelled Q-I-N-A-H. And it's translated as jealousy in other verses. And this is a state of ill will, ranging even to anger, and it's based on a perceived advantage. Now, I want to highlight the word perceived there. It doesn't mean it's a true advantage, it's a perceived advantage. And this ties in with, which we'll discuss later, where envy comes from. Or it means it's a desire to have something that someone else has. You want something that something else, and they have an advantage over you because you think they have an advantage. Rottenness, R-A-Q-U-A-B. Again, I'm not going to try to pronounce this stuff. But it's also defined as an infection or a degeneration or a decay. So this is an inflammation or degeneration of a joint or a bone which can cause pain or weakness. So as we look at these words, you get the idea that we have good health, good healthy versus infection and decay. Other translations, some of these are already read. A tranquil heart gives life to the body, but envy makes the bones rot. The Net Bible, a tranquil spirit revives the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. A tranquil heart is the life to the body, but jealousy is rottenness to the bones. Peace of mind means a healthy body, but jealousy will rot your bones. So, so let's take a look at envy. One thing that caught my eye as I was looking and meditating on this verse is and that popped into my mind is envy is a problem for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, strong or weak, and anywhere in between. This is a universal problem that everybody has. And that's because of where it comes from. So where does envy come from? That answer is the question. The answer to that question is in Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, and are subject to the night, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. James 3:14-16 says about envy, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not send from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So now that we know where it comes from, let's take a look at an example and the decay, the infection, that or the rottenness that it caused. Keeping in mind that this is an ill will or anger based on a perceived advantage. Examples. Family members. Yes, it's true. Even family that are supposed to love each other can be envious of each other. Example in the Bible is Rachel and Leah. Genesis 30:1. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. And if you read any more verses, Jacob kind of fires back and says, who am I, God? So you can tell that was a nice family discussion there. So we have two sisters that are supposed to love each other. Our one is envying the other one. Right behind them, we have Joseph and his brothers. We can read about Joseph and his brothers in Genesis 37, but Acts 7:9 tells us the motivations of the brothers. Acts 7:9 states, and the patriarchs, being envious, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. So it is no surprise at all that if family members can be envious of each other, even people that belong to the same country or nation can be envious of each other. At this point, I'd like you to turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. And this is the Korah incident. And we'll just highlight a couple verses. I'm sorry, Numbers 16. Numbers 16. Now, if you read Numbers 16 at all, you never see the word envy. But Psalms 106:16-18 states, when they envied Moses in the camp and Aaron the Spirit of the Lord, the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the faction of Abiram, and fire was kindled in their company, and the flame burned up the wicked. And as before we turn to number 16, we have what I just mentioned, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And then even Jesus Christ was a victim of envy. Mark 15. Okay. You know what? Even Jesus Christ was affected by a negative way by envy from others. And this is Pilate. And now at the feast of the governor, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner named Barnabas. Therefore, when they had gathered them, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release you, Barnabas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they handed him over because of envy. So we see that there was envy between the priests and Jesus Christ. And as I thought about this, everything I've discussed now is pre-church age. So do we, as believers, with the Holy Spirit helping us, have to worry about envy? And the answer to that is yes, we do. Romans 13:13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy. That's the context of a behavior of a Christian. 1 Corinthians 3:3, in the context is the condition of the local church in Corinth. For you are all still carnal, where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? In the context of being Paul warning Timothy about false teachers and to watch out for in the local church. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, rivaling, and evil suspicions. Useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gains. From such withdraw yourself. The context in the Titus 3:3, in the context of our pre-salvation condition. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. 1 Peter 2:1, in the context of spiritual growth. Therefore, believer, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, and envy, and all evil speaking. Galatians 5:26 says this, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And as we look at, turn back to Numbers here, what I want to impress on you is how the Lord handles envy in the nation of Israel at the time of Moses. So the situation here is Moses and Aaron are the leaders of the nation of Israel. And three guys get envious, and they start to make some noise. And this just to me, it just shows me how serious envy is, and how serious the Lord takes this. And so let's pick it up. In verse 12, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up." Now understand what here's what they're saying to Moses. They're not saying they're envious, but here's what they're saying. It is a small thing that you have brought us out of the land of flowing and milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us. They were envious of the fact that he was a prince, or acting like a prince. And they go on and exchange words, and the long story short, they all gather, the entire congregation. So Korah, in verse 19, gathered all the congregation against them, Moses and Aaron, at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. And then the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume the entire congregation in one moment." At that point in time, the Lord was going to kill everybody but Moses and Aaron. And they, Moses and Aaron, fell on their faces and said, "O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation?" So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." And Moses rode and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed them. And he spoke to the congregation, "Depart from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you can be consumed in all their sins." So the congregation moves away from these guys and their tents. And Moses says, if these people die a natural death, then they are chosen, or I am not chosen. Verse 29, if these men die naturally like all men, and if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up from with all that belongs to them, then they go down alive in the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up whole with their households, and all the men with Korah and all their goods. So they and all that were with them went down alive in the pit, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. This is what the Lord thinks about envy, and this is how he handled it. Now Korah, these three guys got 250 companions to hang out with them and kind of agree with them. And as soon as the pit opened them up and swallowed these people, the congregation fled. Verse 35, and a fire came out of from the Lord and consumed 250 men who were offering incense or agreeing with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. It just really hope you sense how the Lord thinks about envy. So the question is what's the remedies? What is the remedy or the solution for envy? Well, Solomon says it this way. A sound mind. A peaceful, contented state or attitude or mindset. A sound mind. A mind in a calm, peaceful, contented, and healthy state. The Apostle Paul says something about envy. He says, love does not envy in 1 Corinthians 13:4. So, a peaceful mind, or love everybody, and you won't envy them. If you love somebody, you will not envy them. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. A mind that is at or in a state of peace or contentment or love can be true of any person that is saved because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in each and every one of us. When we walk in the Spirit, we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh and we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, and then the last remedy is walk in the Spirit. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, in which such there is no law. If you remember Galatians 5, 19 through 21, the works of the flesh, or the fruits of the flesh, including envy, the list is long. Now, on a personal note, as I again thought about this memory verse, I want to encourage you with what I found out worked for me, is when I found myself driving around at work or caught myself being full of envy, this I realized because of this, I was studying this verse, exactly what it was. It was on my radar. Oh, you know what? I'm being envious right now. I am envious of that person, or I am envy towards this or that. And so that was really helpful. And then, that being convicted of it and understanding the seriousness and how this it's not just something to just, oh well, no big deal. This is the Lord takes this seriously, we should take this seriously. Envy is a rottenness, infection that goes deep. And the remedy that I found for me was when convicted by the Spirit through the Word of God, I confessed the envy for what it is, a work of the flesh. And then I found a helpful thing to do when I was having trouble was to start counting my blessings. I started naming the blessings that I have right now. As I thought about these blessings I have in Christ, I found the thing that I was envying would fade away or it would be put in its right place. The first blessing that I usually came up with, the fact that I'm saved from eternity in hell because of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became a man for the express purpose of paying my penalty for sins in my life, and therefore removed the sin barrier between a righteous, holy God and myself and all sinners. Jesus Christ, having made this satisfactory payment for our sins, rose again and is alive forevermore, and God offers to you and me eternal life as a gift by simple faith. This blessing alone was the fact that God is sovereign, that everything that happens to me on any given day came through the front office first, usually did the trick. Every once in a while I'd get to down to blessing number 5 before a mind or a state of mind of kind of peacefulness, contentment would take over. I just found it was kind of a cool little trick that if you catch yourself envying something, first of all confess it and then start counting your blessings. I just ad-libbed there. Now I got to find myself where I left off. So he does everything out of his perfect love for me with the goal of me becoming more and more Christ-like over time. And the other promises and truths about God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that we learn about in church, that Christ, we will not be tested above measure. We were always given a way out. Jesus Christ is doing what he's doing in light of eternity for my good. The thing that I envy, again, takes its rightful place, and usually I recognize it for what it is. It's probably not a need. My needs are taken care of. And if I had what I envied, I'd probably end up just hurting myself, just physically or even spiritually. In conclusion, if you find yourself being envious or having trouble with envy, think of Proverbs 14:30 and know that envy is a deep down in your soul infection. Change your mind to a healthy mindset of peace and contentment by confessing envy as sin. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, nor will you do the works of the flesh, including envy. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. And that is all I have.